There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
Our perspective is yours for the taking, but you'll have to join us first. We left everything we debated at the Yonko table.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for the Yonko table, the table that will make their dreams come true.
Yo!
Yo, everyone. That is the voice of your Yonko host, Dr. Jace Attorney. And we are here to deep dive the latest film of the Kaiju extravaganza, Godzilla Minus One. This is the 37th, if you can believe it, Godzilla film. And to be fair, I think this is probably one of the more successful Godzilla films ever since its inception in the 1950s. But we will deep dive all of it, Godzilla's history, what's our relationship to Godzilla and the kaiju monster craze that's going on right now. But with me, as always, is fellow Yonko Grandmaster Hoop. Grandmaster, are you pretending the food you're eating is buildings and people like a kaiju would as you devour it and chow it down?
That's my Godzilla scream.
Oh, we couldn't hear anything.
Oh, lower register. No. Well, he has a high-pitched scream. I can't do it. Never mind.
That's okay. You're doing your best. That's all we can ask for. But we are not alone in this endeavor. We have Supernovas here to join us as well.
Viene, viene, Paging Dr. Mondo.
And let's get into it. Okay, so Godzilla Minus One. Let's see here. Let me feel the room out. Are you guys kaiju, connoisseurs? Do you watch a lot of kaiju-styled movies? Do you watch Godzilla movies at all? How's the room like for Godzilla in general? Because I can tell you, at least for me, my one exposure... I have two exposures to Godzilla. No, actually three. I have three. I have the 1998 classic. The GOAT. I think it's 98 or 99.
That's 98.
It's 98, 98. Okay. So that was my first one. Then... Honestly, it probably goes in order for like the American Godzilla films. After that, I watched the 2014 Godzilla movie with
Godzilla trilogy.
Well, I did not watch Godzilla. What was the one that had like a blue title? It was like Godzilla
King of Monsters.
King of Monsters, that one. I did not
you
watch
missed
that
the best one.
I've heard.
The one with Ghidorah, right?
Ghidorah,
yes.
Rodan, yes. Mothra.
Yeah, like yeah. that was, I think, the best.
I've heard that one was the best, but I did watch the follow-up to that one, which is the Batman v Superman equivalent.
It's Godzilla, literally Batman v Superman.
Godzilla versus Kong. And that one I had fun with. I had fun with that one.
It's a good one. I actually just rewatched Godzilla Minus One. Made me go rewatch literally all those. The only one I haven't rewatched.
You rewatched all of them?
It's the only
like starting with 98, you worked your way back up again?
The 2014 series, which is the monster verse.
Oh.
The only one I haven't rewatched is Kong Skull Island because it's not on the max right now. But that one is also really good.
Yeah, Kong Skull Island is possibly like. If you're including like the Kong and Godzilla like movies together, because they are.
That's a kaiju. Kong's a kaiju at this
point.
Oh,
yeah,
point.
Yeah. But yeah. Like of the Monsterverse, I mean. Like Kong's Skull Island is possibly like the best one.
Yeah, Kong's Skull Island is really good. And I would say 2014 Godzilla might be the weakest.
And it's not bad.
Because it doesn't have Bryan Cranston in it.
Well, that is a giant part of it. Though, you know, I think when it comes to these Godzilla films and kaiju films, is that, you know, we're here for Godzilla. And if the human characters, and we have this discussion all the time.
When we talk about Transformers,
there has to be a respectable balance between kaiju-driven action and the human characters, if you so choose to focus on them. And that is something that that 2014 film did not nail. I dare say the 1998 film with Matthew Broderick did not nail that, because what the hell are we doing?
I thought you were going to say it was better than...
No. I mean, that film has enjoyable moments, but they butchered my boy, Godzilla, and made
your
him look
boy?
Stupid. Look what they did to my boy.
Boy?
Oh, what? Was Godzilla a female in that one?
Yes.
I thought Godzilla was just asexually reproducing.
Honestly, whatever. I don't remember. I thought he was female, yeah.
They butchered my boy, my girl. But that, I think that's a big thing about these Godzilla films, is that if the human characters are not worth the investment, then it's just like, give us more Godzilla. And if you don't give us more Godzilla, why are we here?
And, you know, like, it's really good that you say that, because this is what Minus One just does.
This is what Minus One does, correct.
Correct.
In spades. In right. spades. Like, in, and I can't believe...
Like, just to hammer it in, like, even though this is a kaiju, a monster movie, it is the most human out of all of them, and it just hits home. It hits home.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know if either of you... I've only been exposed, really, to the American versions
seen,
of Godzilla.
I haven't seen, like, the previous, like, Japanese iteration.
Not Japanese ones, Godzilla. Okay. I know there's, like, Godzilla 2000 that was supposed to be,
no,
like...
I haven't seen that.
Like, a slap in the face to what they did in 98 to American Godzilla. They're like, dude, what'd you guys do? Now we gotta make a good one.
It's like, you know, it's up to us to save
it's
the day.
It's up to us. I know before this one, the Godzilla movie that was getting a lot of praise was Shin Godzilla.
Godzilla, did get a good amount of praise. Yeah.
Right. And I thought about watching it, and I still should, with how much, you know, spoiler, I enjoyed this one a lot, minus one. But for Shin Godzilla, I remember, like, years ago looking up what he looked like in that movie, and he looked disgusting to me.
Many,
like,
people did not like the appearance. No,
I was like, what is that? He looks like a turd. Like, I don't know. It looked gross. I'm like, maybe I could look past it, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm like kind of looking. Oh, God.
It's, yeah. Like, what is that? I don't know what. But
King Godzilla looks absolutely disgusting.
But the movie apparently was really good. So I have to give it a shot. This one, of course, and Minus One, he's rocking it. I like this design of Minus One.
Yeah.
Well, Godzilla.
I think what they were going for here in Minus One, which I think is actually, like, really smart, because, you know, and you have to, in these new Toho Godzilla films came about because of the 2014 MonsterVerse series. They said, well, if they're going to reboot, because essentially that's a reboot of the 1998, I guess, you know, another crack at American Studios tackling Godzilla. So they basically, in response, said, well, Godzilla is ours. They cannot be putting that. Well, they should not be putting out the best Godzilla content.
That was their Dragon Ball Evolution to them.
Yeah, I guess. Right.
I think it was cool. Another thing that was cool here in this one is because, like, I knew beforehand, right? Like, one of Godzilla's origin stories, which was that he was a T-Rex. He was pretty much like hit by some radioactive shit or whatever, and then evolved into, like, the Godzilla monster that we know and love.
One of them was that he was a T-Rex and he got hit by the...
So pretty much
it's like one of the origin stories. It's like that he was a dinosaur. He was a dinosaur and was blasted with radiation, and that made him into Godzilla. Like, you know, the one that we know.
Yeah, no, that is one of them.
Movie, they tackled that origin.
Well, this
they
one...
Did.
No,
they did
not...
Tackle.
No.
They did.
Hold up now. No, he was not a T-Rex.
No, like he, was a di- like he was a dinosaur. But
no,
they
no, he... Listen. I know what you're saying, because that That is a very particular Godzilla origin. That is not what's here. That one deals with time travel, and that one's really convoluted. That is not here. That one is not here. Because I'm pretty sure I've seen that one. I had a neighbor growing up.
That's a movie, by the way. The one
that's
that
a movie.
The time
that,
travel.
That's a movie. Yeah, that's okay. A movie. My neighbor, growing up, he used to be obsessed with Godzilla. We used to play on the GameCube, Godzilla Destroy All Monsters.
Oh my God, the games! The games were the so game. Good.
Yeah, that game was actually really good.
That one was really good. Destroy. I completely forgot about that.
Destroy All Monsters Melee. I'm pretty sure that was the title. Fun game. Here they are getting to your point, Dr. Mondo. They are getting back to the root, the earlier roots. Because to be honest, the best part of the 2014 MonsterVerse stuff is kind of the lore they're establishing with that franchise, with there being titans and they used to run the earth and whatnot. But this one, again, it's that human approach of, you know, nuclear fallout, the arms race, and Godzilla's just simply a product of radiation. Whatever fucking lizard was at the wrong place at the wrong time, got hit, and boom, here we go. And I was going to say this earlier, the design of this Godzilla, it evokes the new wave of CGI type Godzilla mixed with the costume origins,
the classic,
of Godzilla.
The
classic.
Right. And I think it's honestly a perfect blend. And
This was perfect. It really was. Oh, perfect blend of what?
Well, combining new and old, because it's like the 2014 one looks really good in the 2014 movie. And in the King of All Monsters, when you start getting away from it, like in Kong versus Godzilla, and then in this new one, he's pink and whatnot.
Come on, that pink goes hard. It's like,
I don't know.
It's like Super Saiyan Rosé. It's nice.
I am indifferent.
This is color not beautiful.
I'm indifferent. But I do believe the approach they chose in Minus One is, you know, very spirited in terms of trying to evoke the sense of the classic.
Yeah, I think
films.
Yeah, it evokes the classic, but I don't know, like here in this one, this is possibly, like, at least from the Godzilla that I have seen, because I haven't seen, you know, going back, although technology has come a long way, but this is a scary ass Godzilla. Like,
he's scary.
Menacing. Oh. Like, truly menacing.
I think
it's the monster versus, like, okay, you're big, you know, but you don't get that menacing nature out of it. You know, it's like, and they don't play at that in the 2014. It's like Godzilla's kind of like the protector or blah, blah, blah. Here is like, oh no, we're ditching that. Like, Godzilla is just literally a walking weapon of mass destruction.
Well, that's kind of going, because I think I talked about it before with Grandmaster, right? They always had like a balance between trying to tackle what version of Godzilla they want to tell in any movie, right? It's either Godzilla, who's our savior, right? Trying to save us from like whatever monster is attacking this city or this place, or it's Godzilla's nuking everything. We got to stop him. He's out of control right now. This one was, he's out of control. Like, he's destroying everything, and we need to stop him.
And I think it's interesting too. I wish I knew the history of kind of when did the shift start, because it's been a while since Godzilla has played the role of just a walking
the problem
nuke.
Like,
the problem.
Honestly, like, at least starting from the, like, I didn't see Shin Godzilla, so I really, I may be like totally wrong here. But like the 1998, he's kind of a weapon of mass destruction to a certain degree.
Yeah, he's the problem in that movie.
She is
the problem.
It is the problem. But like in the MonsterVerse movies, Godzilla is like the protector, kind of like, not even a protector. He's just like keeps everything in balance.
Well, and I don't want to keep talking about the 2014 movies, but they do a really good job at just bringing in like logic and science behind it. He is an apex predator. If you are not a threat to him, he's not here to bother you. So he's not out here trying to destroy humanity. He's literally, if King Ghidorah happens to be in Boston, he's got to go fight King Ghidorah.
What are you doing here?
You're not allowed here.
Because like the world, because the planet is his territory.
Correct. So he has to put that to rest and see. We should probably like do a lead up into the next Godzilla Kong film because it's really good, the lore they establish here. But with that said, yes, it has been a while since we've seen Godzilla just be what is presented here in Minus One. And I think from the films that I've seen of Godzilla, this one definitely feels like Godzilla is, I just feel it's just like he's a force of nature, and they really focus in on the humans and how destructive, and just the story centered around what's going on with the humans. And it's just like, damn, life sucks. Fuck, here comes Godzilla, you know? Like, I think they did a great job in this movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who do we have like helming this movie? Because I know with Godzilla, they don't rely on the same writers or directors every single time. They always want like some new fresh blood coming in to the franchise. Who do we have?
Yes. Let me help you out. And I find this actually very interesting.
Of course.
So, let me double check one little thing real quick. Just wanted to see. Okay. No. Oh, okay. So get this. Godzilla Minus One. We're back to Toho Studios, the original creators of Godzilla.
Okay.
As Dr. J said earlier, this is the 33rd Toho film, but this is the fifth in what is known as the Reiwa era, which started with Shin Godzilla. There's three animated Netflix films. Those are part of it. Yeah, this part of, I don't know to what degree, but they're part
of this. Wait, is that like the part three, three Godzilla?
There's three of them. The three animated ones on Netflix, they're part of this.
Because I think I've seen them. They're movies.
Okay. There is, I think, one show that's also part of this.
So those three projects are part of the five
Planet of Monsters
era.
Yes, correct. Okay. Now,
I've seen Planet of Monsters, City on the Edge of Battle. Yeah, all those. I've seen them.
Right. Okay. So they're part of this. So what level of degree, I do not know. But Godzilla Minus One, directed, written, and I guess he did the visual effects too. Takashi Yamazaki. Doing all three.
Wow,
that's
he's
crazy.
Part of all three.
Yeah, Jesus. Director, writer, director, and visual effects. That's crazy. First of all,
that's insane. Wow. Okay.
I feel that's great. Like, he's in there making these visual effects. I don't know how many directors are doing it like that. Shout out to Takashi. This movie is starring Ryunosuke Kamiki, Minami Hamabe, Yuki Yamada. So Ryunosuke, that's our main character. That's Koichi. Yep.
Koichi.
Minami Hamabe is Noriko, his friend, the domestic partnership.
Right.
Yuki Yamada as Shiro. That's one of the crewmen, the little crew that they form.
Right.
Mutanaka Aoki is Tachibana. You remember Tachibana, the guy, they were the survivors in the beginning of the film.
Oh, right. The mechanic.
Yes, the mechanic. Okay. There's Hidetaka Yoshioka as Kenji, the naval guy. And then let me just finish this short list. Sakura Ando, Kurunosuke Sasaki, Mio Tanaka, and Sei Nagatani. That's the core cast. Oh, Sei Nagatani is the girl.
The little girl.
Akiko.
Okay.
Akiko. So that's your main cast. Who I think, again, this cast ate. Everybody ate.
They did.
It was crazy.
It was great. Like, across the board. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a single person in this that I don't think I did not like care for in some varying degree. I'll tell you.
I'll tell you what.
I'm sorry, 2014 film. I did not care about Aaron Taylor Johnson.
You didn't care about Bryan Cranston?
No, I cared about Bryan Cranston. I didn't care about Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, wow. Wasn't Millie Bobby Brown in that?
No, Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown, I think, was in the second one.
She's in the second one.
King of Monsters. Okay.
She's in King of Monsters and she's in Godzilla Kong. And I have a lot to say about her performance and her placement in these films. But that's for another pod. Let's talk about this pod. One, it's like World War II. It's like right after World War II, which.
Right.
I wish we were bigger Godzilla fans. If that has not. I think they're typically always around that time, I guess. Mm-hmm. I feel this one, though, played it really well as far as, you know, began right after World War II, after they had just got hit by, you know, the atomic bomb.
Right.
And I don't know. I just, from my base knowledge, I have not seen this in any other Godzilla film where it's just like really playing to real world events. And, you know, crafting a story around those real world events, because on
Godzilla
top of
Godzilla is a mechanism of the story, Godzilla, even though the movie is called Godzilla Minus One, it's really like the story of, you know, this person and, you know, during this very troubled time in Japan and like the real world events.
Yeah, I feel Godzilla is not even the main focus.
Exactly.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing.
Like, Godzilla is a mechanism to heighten the story. As you said, like before, Godzilla is a force of nature. Like, Godzilla in this movie, he's not like a character in the sense like he has his own personality. No, like he just embodies the power of nature. The raw power, destructive fury. That's what he embodies in this movie.
No, absolutely.
And how humanity, these humans, and like they step up, they kind of like step up to the challenge and like everything they're dealt with. And also each character with its little arc.
I'm so grateful that the movie did what it did so well, but at the same time, I'm low-key kind of worried that other Hollywood's going to see the success of Godzilla Minus One, and they're going to not get the right message from it, and they're going to be like, oh, people love human characters. Look, they really love the kamikaze pilot. They love Noriko. They love this person. Put more humans in more of these monsters / kaiju / transformers. I'm like, no, you need to understand why these
Hollywood tends to
were fantastic.
Hollywood tends to miss the point a lot of times when it comes to this type of things. It's like, oh, and they try to copy it, and it's like, no, it's like the essence is something else. It's not that you just can copy and paste things. You have to put like time and effort into actually crafting something that's, you know, good, relatable, and, you know, that can captivate audiences, not just on a visual scale, but on an emotional scale as well.
I mean, you get it early on with even the main character, Koichi. He's a kamikaze pilot. He doesn't want to die.
Okay. And see, this is why, you know, I think this film is one part. Yeah, let's make a Godzilla movie. But also this film is one part meta commentary on just kind of Japan and kind of their ideals and how they used to view and do things. Because, yeah, the whole making Koichi a kamikaze pilot, not wanting to die, that and was, then, you know,
ingenious.
That was a stroke of genius right there.
it low key kind of sounds dumb a little bit, like in the writer's room, because it's like, what if we get a kamikaze pilot that doesn't want to die?
But
it's
but
like the polar opposites of like things you're spitballing. No, like,
but the way,
what if we have a dog that wants to be a cat?
But the way they use that,
the way they use it, that's important.
As that, like, connecting point for the entire story and for it to be literally the center of it all, it's so well done and so well written.
Because you have the rest
entire,
of
the entire movie. That is the theme. And
he doesn't want to die. And he's constantly reminded throughout the movie by his peers, his colleagues, his neighbors, why didn't you die?
No, that, like, no, not only that, this movie, so it has to do with that. This movie is just, it's survivor guilt. Like,
yeah, he's being reminded by everybody.
Like, right. The entire movie is survivor guilt. Because it's just like, because I am a, like, he says some, like, yeah, we'll talk about it in a lot more detail later on. I don't want to, like, jump ahead, but he says one line that's great. And it's like, I am someone that's not even, I'm not even supposed to be alive. Like, my job was to die. It's like, that, he says one part in the movie, and it's like, wow, that is great. That is great.
No, I mean, really, and that's just one character, right? Mm-hmm. That's just our main character. We have a slew of other characters that were fantastic. We have our, what, main domestic partner?
Noriko,
who picks up, like, a random child, right? In the wreckage of one of the atomic bombs going off. She's raising Akiko to up to at least toddler age. We have the who else? We have the squad, right?
So basically their captain, who's the captain of the ship. There's Doc, who's like the scientist. And I think the other one was like soldier.
I think Shiro. There was Doc, like there was the captain, there was Shiro. And there's another one that I forgot.
He's the one that got hurt and like he broke his arm or something.
Oh no, that's Shiro. That's Shiro.
That was the young one, right?
That's the young kid. That's okay. Shiro.
That's the kid.
Oh, kid. That's what they call him. Kid.
They call him kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He wants to see war. He wants to grow hair on his chest.
And it's like, but also this movie does like that, like social commentary very well, because I think it's, you know, you have to have like at least some degree of cultural like competence and humility here.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like the US can't do this exact movie in Japan because it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like, this is not your culture. Like, you cannot just like criticize the history of someone, another country's history. And I think it's very well put that Japan is it's criticizing their own history and saying, like, you know, this is what we did wrong.
They're self-reflective of it.
It's very self-reflective. Very, right. And in the movie, like, constantly throughout the movie. And you know, they can do that because it's their own culture. It's their own history. And, like, the U.S. equivalent would be like, let's say if Godzilla something in slavery, that's like the only like something like that.
You know what? You say that. I bet you there's a Hollywood executive right now. He's brewing in his cauldron. It's like, wait a minute. Minus one was successful criticizing.
Like Godzilla Civil War.
If you can craft a Godzilla story where the main characters or the story is a deep dive satire on the wrongs of slavery with Godzilla as a background tour de force,
that would be amazing.
By all means, if you can do what Minus One did, go for
do
it.
Do it.
Godzilla slaps his tail down between the middle of the North and South and people are trying to cross it and they say, you come back. Do it. But yeah, I think
do it.
When Hollywood it comes down to it,
producers, directors, you are hearing it first here.
Take that with a grain of salt.
We can do it.
I think we can do this. When they crafted this story, they very much said, let's look at some of these issues. Kamikaze pilots. Was that right? Any kamikaze pilots that survived? Should we be guilt tripping them?
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, too, it's just like, how can you be of service to your country after this atrocity that happened. And it's like, you know, here Koichi just wants to be of service. He wants honor. He wants purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's constantly fighting this idea.
He wants redemption. He wants redemption.
Right. And it's sad because, like, you know, he lived, but he never started living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his war was never over. He puts it in a nice way.
I don't know how he quoted it.
He's still fighting his war.
That's what it was. It's like, the war has ended, but my war has not.
And right. Noriko too, she like peeped it too, that, you know, she's like, look what you have, man.
Yeah, look what you have. Look at this.
Kind of. And then it was like, you know.
Why don't you want this?
Akiko, I told you not to call me father.
I knew that was coming. As soon as she said daddy, I'm like, nope, he's going to say, Akiko, we talked about this.
And that's so sad. It's so sad that.
No,
you know,
and like that when he wakes up from his nightmares, it's like he thinks that the nightmare is reality. He thinks that the nightmare is reality and real life is a dream. And he's like, it's like, oh yeah, like I'm already dead. Like this is all a dream. I'm likely dead somewhere in a ditch.
Well,
after like fulfilling my purpose of being a kamikaze and literally, you know, blowing myself off the bits.
Let's talk about those nightmares, because while it is tied to him being a kamikaze pilot and, you know, also having survivor's guilt, the big bad, the entity is tied to that survival as well. So what you get in the very beginning of the movie, you get Koichi. He lands with Tachibana, says, hey, plane's having some problems, buddy. Can you go fix it? Tachibana's like, hey, well, what are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with this plane. What are you insinuating, Tachibana-san? And then one thing leads to another. Bam! Godzilla appears right there. It's a small Godzilla.
He's small. It's a
baby Godzilla. I mean, could you call it a baby Godzilla? Baby Godzilla?
You just call him... No, he's not a baby.
Godzilla first form.
Okay.
First form.
Just like Frieza, you know?
Right. This is first form Godzilla. Grandmaster, was this what you were talking about regarding the origin? Where they like they quickly, because there was like a character when they saw Godzilla, they're like, oh my god, it's Godzilla, and they looked at him and say, who's Godzilla? And he quickly explained like what, like a spirit or
so what, and again, this is kind of like, you know, you pick and choose kind of the origins you want to go ahead and try to craft from this. Mm. He's clearly not a dinosaur here. He is a product of the atomic bomb. And then he only grows bigger, if you were paying attention, because the Cold War is going on too, right after the events of World War II. That's how he grows bigger. And it was the U.S. bombing that they were testing the Bikini Atoll islands. And that's where he got hit again to grow. So...
Oh, that was in the beginning, right?
It was like when they were like moving forward, there was like some newsreels and whatnot.
Okay.
And how the government tried to cover it up. However, so yes, the soldiers were like, that's Gojira. He brings fish. He brings fish to the islands when he, you know, comes and whatnot. But mind you, here he's already growing. He's already growing. So he was based on a spirit. The spirit of Gojira would bring fish to the fishermen, but that's not your Gojira. That's not the Gojira you want, because boy was hungry, started wrecking everybody. Koichi had a moment, if he could have. Again, the dude is just scared. He wants to live. I get it. But at the same time, it's that line of, you know, do I put myself on the line for others?
Either your life it's like, what's more important? It's like that constant battle that he has. It's like, what's more important, like your life or your country's, your honors, you know, all that kind of, like, all that comes into play. And it's like, he just freezes.
He freezes and everybody dies.
it's a very human response. Like, what the hell? Like, you're seeing this monster.
It's always in the face of certain death, because it goes back to being a kamikaze pilot. There's no like, oh, if I pilot the plane a certain way, I can survive. No, if you're a kamikaze pilot, you are dying. That is certain death. And going back to when on this island, when I think it was Tachibana, he was telling Koichi, hey, man that turret over there and try shooting him. And it's one of those things where, like, you as a viewer know, like, a little dinky plane just shooting Godzilla is not gonna kill him. But it goes back to that certain death. Koichi goes into that plane. He knows if he shoots this thing, that thing is killing him. Like, it's that gun is not gonna work. But it goes back to that survivability. He didn't want to die in the kamikaze pilot whole shtick. He didn't want to die here either. And then that guilt just carries on with him further and further, because, I mean, the result of him not firing from that plane was everyone on that island dying except him and Tachibana, right? They were the only two.
Yeah, him and Tachibana. And then on top of that, too, it's the fact that there was no effort that, you know, yeah, he's pretty certain he'll die, and we as the viewer know, which makes it really good irony, because it's like, yeah, we know he would have died, but the fact that he didn't try, and then all those other people died, that's gonna weigh even heavier now, because it's gonna be, what if I did shoot at Godzilla? What if I did follow through with the kamikaze plane? What if that saved millions?
No, and not only that, it's like the first thing that happens when he arrives at Japan, and I forgot the name of the character, like, hugs him, and then he's like, wait, what the hell? You're a kamikaze, what are you doing here?
Sumiko
says, you're a kamikaze, what are you doing here? And it's like, because you did it, like, because you are here, this happened.
You're the reason why we lost.
You're the reason that this happened. Like
all that guilt. Just
which again, like,
down.
Obviously we as a viewer know, like, come on, that's totally logical. Come on, like, what the
yeah,
fuck? Like, again, just like playing at that survivor's guilt, saying like, you are not supposed to be alive. You were born to die. Your purpose was to die, nothing else. You are not supposed to live. It's like just hammering that nail in. You're not supposed to be alive.
And it goes back to, I mean, the human characters are so good with this, but it's funny to see that once that Godzilla bit happens, we don't hear about Godzilla for years. No. Like in the context of the story, it's like, all right, that was just a weird fever dream, in all honesty. I don't know what was going on there, but life moves on. I think it was like, what, 5 years later?
Yeah,
or 4 years
like,
later?
It does span a couple of years. Yeah. And
some time passes, and Godzilla beefs up. We talked about it earlier with the design. I think because this version of Godzilla, to me, is terrifying. Like, and I've never gotten that from like any other Godzilla before, outside of the one that looks like a turd from Shin Godzilla, and the ones that just kind of look cool, like, you know, the MonsterVerse Godzilla versions. They look cool. It's like, okay, yeah, that looks like a beefed up lizard that could destroy buildings. He looks cool. This version is scary. Godzilla
it's
minus
the,
one is scary.
It's the eyes.
It's the eyes. It's the white eyes. In the eyes. Like, because he look like everywhere this thing moves and everywhere he looks angry. Like, he looks like
it's intentional.
It looks
intentional.
Like, he's like, you, I want you. This is, and I think it goes a long way, because I don't feel that from MonsterVerse Godzilla. I don't feel terrified of him. And it's a part of Godzilla that I always thought was almost cartoonish in a way, because like there are other versions of Godzilla that have always shown like the whites in his eyes, but it's always, from my experience, it's always been the ones that are like like what Grandmaster Hoop was saying. It's the one where he's like flying on his tail and like kicking someone with his feet, and it's like, this is dumb. This is a silly version.
When he got, when Godzilla got silly, right?
It's when Godzilla got silly. And then when they tried to make him more serious, they tried going, I mean, from what I've seen, at least the American versions, they tried to make him more reptilian. You know, he has like more of like the, what kind of eyes do you call that? Like the more of like the snake eyes. Oh,
yeah. Ellipsis.
Is
elliptical, elliptical,
right. They try to make him more like that to show like, oh yeah, he's very feral. He's very like animalistic in nature. He's just out of control. But this version, he looks so angry. He looks just intentional, and maybe that was the point.
Looks hell bent on just destruction.
Like, it more or less, you could say Godzilla's a manifestation of the way Japan at the time was valuing life for its people. Like the whole thing with the kamikaze pilots. Was it like one of the characters later on in the... It was that military guy, right? The one, once they found a plan to, like, defeat Godzilla, he's like... He gives us, like, this huge speech about, like, listen... I know how the military and the government used to run things when it came to like, you know, boosting morale and honor and, you know, dying for your country. But that's not what we're about. I feel like Godzilla represents all of that because he's only coming in the scenes where like he's challenging the main character on if he's going to sacrifice himself or is he just going to run away.
Godzilla's a manifestation also of his guilt. Like, it's just a pure manifestation of his guilt, a reminder of, like, because not only, like, when Godzilla, like, comes into play, like, you know, final form Godzilla comes into play, it just triggers everything with him. Because he's like, just when I thought I could live, I am cursed. Like, to come back. And it's just like, again, like Godzilla destroys everything and he just remembers, I didn't shoot him down. And like now, like in his mind, like, you know, everything that happened, it's his fault.
Yeah,
he thinks it's his fault. He says, because I didn't shoot this guy down when I had the chance, he's just destroyed everything.
And this may have heightened my experience in watching this movie. We saw this in 4DX.
We did.
And
we did.
Let me tell you, like, it was probably one of the best 4DX experiences I've ever had in a 4D. Like I have, what is it? I think I have Dragon Ball Superhero at the top. For like 4DX, and then I think this is like right there, like right underneath that. Maybe I could even argue it's above Super in a way, but it's neck and neck. It's neck and neck because when Godzilla arrives on scene, you're obviously getting like the whoa, he's like stomping everywhere. But there's a scene, right, and it had such good suspense that I'm like. Grandmaster who is sitting next to me in the theater and I'm grabbing him by his shoulders. What's gonna happen? What are they gonna do? And there's a scene, Dr. Mondo, I think it's in your background. Maybe it's that scene. The first atomic breath.
Well, I think it's not the first. Because he does throw one before, but out at sea. I think this is the first atomic breath that you see its destructive power.
Here, look, it's the atomic breath where him and Noriko, he went to go get Noriko out of the city.
Yes.
And this, honestly, 40X is a very good way to go watch a movie like this.
You'll be elevated in this scene. This scene elevates you. Oh my God.
I think it's because, and you know, this is the first Godzilla movie where I think they really played Godzilla as if he was a walking nuke. When he did that breath, it was light first, and then the sound came after.
It was silence.
It was silent.
Because, like, you see the build-up.
It was a true atomic breath.
It was, yeah. No, it was. It was very reminiscent of atomic bombs being dropped in Japan. Yeah, the whole mushroom cloud thing and everything.
Symbolism.
It's there. And I like this little gimmick. I don't think it's a thing in prior iterations of Godzilla. I could be wrong, but the whole thing with the spikes along his back, like ejecting to like charge up, and then when he's ready to fire, it injects back into his spine to like fire.
That's new to me.
That's new very, to me. I very know, cool I know visual. I know they turn blue in like other iterations when he like blasts or whatever, but not like this. Not where it's like it you know, one by one, boop 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 boop, and it's all coming out, and it's like a timer. It's a timer, and in 4DX, you're like, am I going to get launched out of my seat? When is it going to happen? And right when you know it's going to happen, and you see the blast go off, it's that silence. Our theater was kind of full, right? Like, for the most part?
Pretty full, yeah.
You could hear a pin drop, because everyone was freaking out over like, oh my God, he's charging up. Once that blast left, silence. Silence in the whole theater. Bravo. I love
it. Was
it.
So and then the explosion. Well,
yeah.
The explosion. And then on top of that, too, because again,
and the this rate,
the shockwave. Well,
we really care about Koichi and Noriko in this moment.
What?
Noriko, look at, and again, really good job characterizing Noriko, pushes and self sacrifices herself to push Koichi out of the way.
That's it.
Blown away.
Gone.
She's done. I'm like, oh my God. She not to mention, she already survived the freaking Godzilla picking up the train and her having her Uncharted moment trying to get out of that train. So she already went through hell and back doing that. And then just done. Just wiped away.
Yeah, I remember that scene. I was like, I was just like, oh my God. Like, just like watching that, like, I felt like, and again, that just hammers in Koichi's guilt. Because again, it's like, he was like, in his mind, his psyche, he was like, I should have been the one to be blown away.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you didn't do anything.
I would have been the one to be blown away, not her.
It was the one bit of happiness that even though he didn't want to admit it,
that he had left.
It was the one thing that he got, you know, post World War II, and now that's gone. And now he's blaming himself.
When he says afterwards, just when I thought I could live, I am cursed. Like he said, that's when he says it. Like he goes and he sees the photos of those of the men that died on the island, and he's like, just when I thought I could live.
Godzilla's a walking.
I fooled myself I could live.
Godzilla's a walking manifestation of the constant reminder of.
Yeah, he's the constant reminder of his guilt and, like, kind of like, or for what he would say, his sins.
Right, right. It's, oh my God. And honestly, what sells moments like these, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Dr. Mondo, the budget on this movie is approximately. So here's some discrepancies with that. We've been seeing a number thrown around a lot saying the budget on this movie was $15 million. And it makes you think, oh yeah, $15 million, that's like a budget film and Hollywood standards. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. But when you look at scenes like this, when you look at Godzilla, when he's walking around, when he does atomic breath, just seeing the visual effects in this movie, it's better than some of the $100 or $200 million movies that we get in blockbuster Hollywood.
And we can name a good few.
I mean, we don't even have to. People know.
Why? Why not? Why not?
I mean, you're fine. I'm kidding. If you want to talk the most egregious, but remember, just try to keep it on here. We know which films are not utilizing their CGI teams.
Like who?
To The Flash. And I have to
say, no. Why are you saying that one?
I don't think there's a worse budgeted CGI shot than the baby in the microwave.
I agree.
Opening sequence this year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Let's just say there's some Marvel movies you could throw but
you know, even though there are some Marvel movies that have shot the bed with the CGI, like nothing beats The Flash.
The Flash is probably that at its worst.
Thanks.
Right, your Marvel heart is shielded from today's criticism.
It's not even about that. It's just simply pointing out. Mind you, Godzilla was only a bit of like actual CGI. In the film, everything else was, from what it looked pretty practical. I mean, the boat scene. I think
that also has to do that. They knew when not to use CGI and when to use CGI, and used it very much, very appropriately.
And when they did use it, it was very convincing. Yes. Like photorealistic convincing. Like there's a scene where I think it's in Grandmaster Hoop's background, where Godzilla's in the water and he's like chasing one of the boats and he starts opening his mouth. And just the way the water is like going in between his teeth, and it's such a grotesque like look into like the inside of Godzilla, like in his mouth. And I'm like, damn, is that like an actual like reptile's mouth that they have open? Like that, it looks convincing. And then I don't know if it was Takashi himself, the director, that came out and said this, but apparently the $15 million that was being thrown around, either him or someone else that was part of the movie, they actually joked about it and said, that's not even a right number. I wish we had $15 million, implying that whatever budget was on the film, it was less than the $15 million. I'm like, how is it less? How is it less than 15 million? It was already impressive by it just being 15 million. But if it's less than that, that's insane.
That is insane.
I believe it. I believe it.
You believe it?
Yes. I just...
I think it's just how do you say, truly managing well your resources.
Yeah. It's resource management. Plus also the artists, because there's an art form to it as well. Like a visual effects artist. They have very competent artists and they know how to allocate resources appropriately. They just need it for these scenes like this, and they do it.
And I'm not even going to say that all the scenes does the CGI look great. At times you can clearly tell, but I do think it was utilized correctly, because in this film, I feel there's a lot of great kind of perspective shots of just kind of the scope of Godzilla. Like, you know, the boat scene, it's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie, because one, we don't often get kind of diverse scenes with Godzilla. It's usually him stomping around a city. Yeah. Mind you, people half the time forget that he is an amphibious creature, and that to have him do this was, I think, an excellent scene. I think in the city
there's really
scene,
only one scene where he's in like a city in this movie.
Yeah. There literally is. And I think, you know, too,
he's mostly in the water.
Yeah.
And then in the city scene, I felt they put to great use some of the shots of, like, there was a scene where Godzilla just stomps down and the street level rises.
Yeah. And,
like, the people get, like, ugh, like,
right,
shot up, or people hit the thing because they're running and they run into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought it was really great to kind of put that to scale and give us that perspective. I feel that's not often done in Godzilla films.
It's so interesting because, you know, in like just comparing it to the MonsterVerse, right? Like, because in the MonsterVerse, we see Godzilla go up against like other titans, other monsters. Yet I think that this movie demonstrates like a Godzilla that's like far more destructive, far more powerful than the one in the MonsterVerse.
Like, I want to say he's more powerful, but like it's the choice to focus on Godzilla. And again, this goes down the line of the history when they started making it about Godzilla fighting other monsters is that you lose that perspective of how the humans are affected by this. Like,
oh yeah,
in Godzilla versus Kong, they fought in Hong Kong and they probably killed so many people.
No, the city was evacuated.
No, but I mean, this movie
just hammering it in. It really puts Godzilla as a walking force of nature, a walking force of destruction, a freaking walking nuke, a nuclear reactor that's just walking around and can throw atomic bombs on a whim.
I like how he's kind of nerfed by it a little bit, because it hurts him. He can't just go spamming it.
He burns up. He's a nuclear reactor.
Yeah, he's like, ow, damn, that kind of hurts. I better not use that a lot.
But like, he's honestly, it's like if Godzilla wanted to, he would destroy the entire planet in this movie, not just the freaking.
I don't think I got planet destruction vibes.
He's not a planet buster.
No, like there's not nothing Vegeta. There's nothing in the world that could have stopped this monster.
Well,
I mean, it stopped him.
The characters after that initial atomic bomb that he dropped in the city, there's like a mad dash to try and like, you know, get rid of him. They're like, hey, we got to work together. Japanese government's not helping us because they don't want to acknowledge.
Military pulled out too.
Military pulled out. No foreign intervention.
The U.S. doesn't want to, because if not, like, it's going to agitate Russia, the Cold War.
They gave justifiable reasons for why they didn't just, you know, went all up in arms, because with that logic, they would have been able to, like, destroy Godzilla. They're like, hey, listen, let's just get our biggest tanks, our biggest fighters, and just blast the shit out of him. I think that'll be enough to kill him. But they pull those to the side and they're like, hey, no, we're not going to have those type of people fight off against Godzilla. We're going to have the people consisting of like fishermen, civilians, ex-military people, and they're all banding together to find like very creative. Like I felt like I was in that room When they were trying to figure out, the plan was so creative though. What if they do not have guns or anything? What are they gonna do? What crazy ass way are they gonna try and find to kill this monster? And when they thought of the whole like pressure displacement formula, I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, go ahead, try that. Why not? Try crushing him by the water. I don't
like
think
the sea, like the
where
sea
he, where Godzilla. He's from. Yeah. Where he's born from, that will be his death. And I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not a Godzilla connoisseur. I've never seen a version of Godzilla where they're trying to take him out and they're using the ocean to actually defeat him. Maybe
Who
there is.
Thought?
I don't know.
I would like to safely assume there is not. This was a very creative take, because it very much, I think, you know, it is a commentary on science. Like, it's not always gonna be guns and bullets to save the day, you know. It's gonna have to be,
even though at the end of the day it kind of is, but
barely.
It was because what they, I mean, again, good. This was just done so good, because you have that scene where they actually do capture him. Like, you know, the plan's a success.
It was working.
And they bring him down like however many meters, like thousands of meters below the ocean. And again, it's that silence. Like, there's a brief pause where like they bring him down to the depths that they want to bring him to. And then you hear a, like, it's like a sudden like pressure, and everyone did was like, oh, is that it? Is he dead? I thought he was dead from that. But no, he was still alive. So then the logic was, all right, now we gotta like bring him back up very fast because his body can't adjust to the pressure. And I remember grabbing Grandmaster because then, when they're bringing him back up, the line broke or something happened to where it got jammed. And I'm like, Grandmaster, what are they going to do? to beat him? It was such an intense seat. I was at the edge of my seat the entire time. I'm like, what are they going to do? The plan's not working. Oh, great. They brought him back up. Now what? He's still alive. He's charging another one. What do we do? This finale was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Well, I think the finale is only bolstered by some of the bits that happened before.
It's like Koichi again trying to find redemption. And it's like he's looking for Tachibana, the man that he has wronged. And he is like, mm-hmm. I want you to help me set things right.
And he says, I need you to build this plane so I can do what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, so I can do what I didn't do years ago. And in Koichi's world, it's like, I want you to help me die with honor. Like,
and I'm glad they cut it right there.
Yep.
They cut it right there.
Because they play with you. They did. Because like the entire time.
They show him looking at the back of the seat.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. But you know, it's like, it's very
I'm like, why is he emphasizing looking at the back of the seat? That because they made it a point earlier in the movie to say that there were no ejector seats in these kamikaze jet planes. And I'm like, okay, very interesting fact. I didn't know that. But then they have this scene with Tachibana and he's like telling him like, oh yeah, you gotta make sure you fly into its mouth when he opens it. And then he's looking at the back of the seat and I'm like, why are you looking at the back of the seat, buddy?
What works is the idea that the whole film, you are not thinking that Tachibana is the one that needs to kind of have a rethinking of ideologies.
Yeah, like, you know? Tachibana is the one that would say, like, yeah, you should have died years ago, so I'm going to help you die. And it's right. So interesting. And it's so well written and well done how Tachibana is the one that tells him, you deserve to live.
You will live.
You will live. You deserve to live.
He says, no, he says, live. Because that's what it comes down to is that, and I'm not trying to shit on nobody's way of thinking, but it's like, if there's a better way to do something, then do it.
Yeah.
Kamikaze planes are a great idea. They can cause a lot of destruction. They probably can get stuff done. But to what cost? A whole life? Right. And he's like, I get it. I finally get what you were thinking.
And then I think also like he sees Akiko's drawing. He sees the photos of the men that died. It's like how he notices Koichi's guilt. He notices Koichi and like not only the guilt of what he didn't do years ago, but also now, like to a certain degree, like a new type of guilt. It's the guilt of what he's going to leave behind.
Well, it's not that he notices the guilt. He notices that
he notices how much he has suffered because of that.
He has not been living. He may be alive, but this man is not living. He may have not thrown his life away with a kamikaze pilot in the name of Japan. But he is not living. He may have, exploded Godzilla's face with the tugboat earlier in the film, but he is not living. So it's like, and that's what this film, it's a giant kind of discussion about life, what it means to be alive, what it means to self-sacrifice your life. Put your life above others or put others' lives before you.
It's a discussion of the value of one's life.
Yeah.
Of how much value you give to your own life. It's really a discussion about that.
Right.
And it culminates beautifully because
you're thinking the entire time.
Right, Koichi, you know, we get the reveal that there was the ejector, he pulls up. But he still didn't have to, you know.
Not only that, but like you get that reveal like pretty late while he's in the charge. While he's
we don't see him eject. We don't see him eject. Right.
And you think he just dies with
And it's like because everything is building up to him, you know, I want to redeem myself by dying. Like it's all building up to that.
Yeah.
And then it's like you get by the way, and
I remember
like Tachibana is the out of all the people that could have told him this, Tachibana was the person that he least expected it.
In a lesser film, it would have came from anybody else but Tachibana. So, but in a great film, it had to come from Tachibana.
It had to come from
Tachibana.
It is like poetry. And I remember Dr. Chase was like, he ejected. He ejected. I was like, I don't think so.
I knew he did. He had to.
There was an overwhelming cheer from our auditorium of when they realized he ejected. And it was a great feeling. It was a great feeling.
It was great because it was the final blow to Godzilla. He's defeated.
Not only that, but it's like, and it's so interesting, like, you know, with the destruction of Godzilla, kind of like his guilt, his, all that, you know, all those sins of his past that he, like, well, the sins that he thinks he has committed in his past kind of like wash away, right?
Right. Yeah. They plummet to the bottom of the ocean.
They plummet to the bottom of the ocean. And it's like, it's very symbolic. Like, it's him also, when he destroys Godzilla, it's like, he finishes that war with himself.
That is about finishing the war. I think they hammer it a little too on the nose with the real ending where
it's fine.
It's fine that it's on the nose, but like what he gets a letter to like go to the hospital.
Correct.
And he learns that Akiko Noriko. Akiko's the daughter. Noriko survived, and the first thing she says to him to drive the message home, what is it?
Is
your war finally over?
It was nice.
It was beautiful.
Like Godzilla's destruction is both very literal and symbolic at the same time. And it's done very well.
Well, I think, you know, and again, this kind of
Because he chose to live too, he now has that piece of his life back with him.
Yeah.
That's his life that he gets to now enjoy because he chose to live by pulling that ejector seat. Because at the end of the day, he could have still just went inside Godzilla's mouth.
He had a choice.
But also,
he chose to live. But two, you know, he went out there. Godzilla was firing at him. His tail was trying to whack him the whole time. He was he knowingly went out there knowing very much that he could die.
He could die.
And that's not something he did prior. You know, he flew out of formation, landed on that island in the beginning. He did not even try, you know. So it comes full circle. Like he plays the part. He's the bait. He's literally the bait. He lures Godzilla. And he could have died in those moments.
I just got to say this. That scene where he chose to live, that was Robin in Enies Lobby. I want to live when she told
me. Oh, my gosh.
Enough.
We gotta relate this to One Piece somehow.
That's one way to do it. And then, you know, because this is a monster movie, we get like we have to have like the little but is it really over?
There's two.
You get the one where Koichi is crying in Noriko's arms, glad that she's alive. You see this like black pulse thing that's like in her neck, which you're assuming it's kaiju related. There's a big question as to how she even survives.
That's a big question.
I don't believe that she just I just lost an eye. If it's even an eye that she lost, maybe she just got like hurt or something like on her head. Yeah, big question as to how she even survived, and is it related to whatever that thing is in her neck? Grandmaster, I think you said like in the lore of Godzilla, there's like I could talk to Godzilla or like feel the emotions of Godzilla.
Yeah, there is, and there's like things with like Mothra as well. You know, just like a race of people that have ancient ties to these giant creatures and whatnot. I don't know if they're going that route, but I have to imagine that is what they're trying to set up, is that kind of relationship. And so I imagine Noriko survived due to
the black mark.
Which wasn't there before. So,
or maybe she got it from...
Right, I think she got it from...
Whatever happened in the explosion.
Now, whether that means we get a direct sequel featuring, you know, Koichi and Noriko, don't know. But clearly they're leaving breadcrumbs for something to, you know, something that ties this family unit back to Godzilla. And then, of course, you know, you can't keep a good lizard down.
King of Monsters always...
He always finds a way. You see, this thing crumbled into pieces. I remember thinking that, oh, they're just going to blow his head off and then he's going to like sink to the ocean. He's going to regenerate. He crumbled to pieces, like a stack of dominoes. But I mean, that happened. And I guess like his core, I guess, was still intact. And you see growing back in the ocean. So it's like, okay, yeah, you can't keep the good ones down. So he's coming back, and if they decide to. I think
Malcolm,
he just...
Malcolm from Jurassic Park, life always finds a way.
Indeed it does, especially with lizards. Sure. Especially with lizards.
For the radioactive. Lizards,
giant radioactivity and the already ability to regrow limbs.
Of course.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, that practically concludes the film of Godzilla. I would go and see this again.
I would watch it again.
This is honest. And the thing is that this was a movie that I knew like that they had said, like some of the critics had said that it was going to be good, but I was like, this is a monster movie. I'm just expecting just like mindless destruction, really badass moments of Godzilla, and that's it, right? And I was so pleasantly surprised by just how well written it was, like the characters, how interesting they were, and how Godzilla, yes, this is a Godzilla movie, that Godzilla is just an instrument of the story to go along, but the humans in this movie are fascinating and captivating.
Right.
And that's how it should be. And it's like, wow, this is so refreshing to see.
And I think what got me, because I had no intention of watching this movie, like, because it was announced like some time ago already.
Yeah, it was announced like,
Limited release as well.
Limited release, especially with like, the English subtitles, Japanese audio film. And I had no intention of watching this. I'm not that big on Godzilla, but what got me to want to watch this is because on my feed on social media, people were just hyping this movie up like it was the second coming of Christ. And in my mind, I'm like,
a god?
Are y'all gassing this? Why are y'all gassing this? It cannot be that good. It can't be. Like, You're just overhyping it, because now what you're gonna do, you're gonna overhype it, you're gonna get me to the theater, and I'm gonna be left pissed off saying like, oh, it was just mid. Great, thanks for hyping me up. It lives up to the hype. I was pleasantly surprised. This Godzilla movie, it deserves all the ratings, the ravings that it's getting from fans and critics alike. I have not seen or heard of someone that has gone to see this movie and walked out disappointed. If they did, I question their intellect and good storytelling.
Maybe they want
just the toys clashing together, right? Maybe they want the Godzilla versus Kong and Mothra and what is it? The Gomorrah? I don't know
Ghidorah.
Ghidorah.
This is just like we've been talking about this a lot, that, you know, that Hollywood, it's like, Hollywood's going to see this and it's going to try to, like, copy it, and, but they're going to do it wrong, and it's going to, like, you miss the entire point.
People want humans, right? Well, we got to put more humans.
This is just, like, again, this is, again, another lesson that you can teach, like, a lot of other filmmakers in the industry, you know, with movies such as, like, the MonsterVerse, with movies such as Transformers. Like that type of movie where, you know, like you have these like enormous, like cataclysmic creatures or beings, and that you can still have those really cool, badass action CGI moments with these titans or whatever, but you don't need to sacrifice the human element as a result of that. And if anything, it's like they shouldn't be the center of the story, but they should enhance the story that is being told by the characters themselves. And, you know, if Hollywood can get that message from this freaking movie, then maybe we can have a good Transformers.
A dominoes effect. You never know.
I'm gonna say this. We don't even need to worry about Hollywood. Just have these people keep pumping out stuff.
Oh, no, of course. I'm just saying.
What I mean.
We will be there for Godzilla X Kong, Kingdom of Monsters. I don't even know what the hell it's called.
Rise of an Empire.
Rise of an Godzilla Empire. Kong, Rise of...
What I mean is this, is that, you know, there's always this idea that people are trying to, you know, in competition, trying to one up, but at the heart of it all, I think this film was just trying to.
Oh no, you know, I think it's this movie was trying to make its own thing. It's not competing against anyone. These are just artists.
No, I mean, but I don't even think Hollywood's gonna look at this film and be like, "Damn, we need to do that." I think Hollywood knows what they're doing. They wanted to just make Godzilla versus Kong. That's why the human element sucks.
Yeah,
the human element sucks. But I'll tell you, you know, the human element here is definitely really well done. And I honestly think it's more of a human story than it is a Godzilla story.
Yeah.
And Godzilla's, I think that works.
The main character. Godzilla's not the main character of this movie.
And I think that's why this movie is really good, is that that is the story they were trying to tell. If Hollywood is not trying to tell that story, well, I hope they still tell a good story of whatever the heck they're trying to tell.
But, yeah, I just say, I think it's nice to have these types of movies that can maybe inspire better movies to come out.
Well, see,
better movies that come out is better for us.
Well, I'm just at the point where, you know, we are living in a day and age where we have Toho still making Godzilla movies, and we have Hollywood Legendary Pictures making Godzilla movies. And I think that's honestly great. I think it's great that we can have this really, you know, well thought out Godzilla minus one. And then I'm glad in a couple of months we can just have this bombastic Kong and Godzilla fighting another evil monkey.
You want the toys smashing together. Boom, 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 boom.
That's still fun. You can still have fun with that. Okay. So I'm glad we live in an era where we can get both kinds of films.
I guess
Oh, well, find some form of entertainment from both.
Right. I guess the last thing is overall, like, score-wise, what you're going to give this movie. I mean, for me, if I'm going off of Godzilla standards, this one was the best one. This was the best Godzilla movie I've ever seen. 98 was close. 98 was number one before, but the queen, the king, whatever, it's been toppled. It's been toppled. This one is in its place. I still haven't seen Shin Godzilla. Maybe my mind might change, but God, that thing looks so ugly. I think I could love everything about Shin Godzilla, but that design, I don't care what you do with that design. I'm not praising that design. So it already will not be better than this Godzilla movie, Godzilla Minus One. That being said, this was a 10 for me. And maybe that part of that's heightened from the 4DX experience. I think that plays a role in it as well. And honestly, I don't find any faults in this movie. I'm trying the one thing, and I don't even think it's a problem. The one thing I can maybe see some people thinking is a little cheesy is, you could call it, I guess, like the overacting of certain scenes.
But I think that has to do a lot with like maybe like Japanese.
Because in a lot of those instances,
like a cultural aspect.
I think it's a cultural thing because in a lot of those scenes, I try to switch my mind to be like, if I saw this played out in an anime, would I have a problem with it? And I wouldn't. I wouldn't have a problem with it in anime, but they're taking that, what I would have seen in an anime, and putting it in live action. Yeah. So even with that, I can't even say, oh, well, that was kind of cheesy. No, I still liked it. I still loved it. That's the most I could probably throw against it, but it doesn't stick for me. So to me, it's a 10. This movie was perfect. And in my opinion,
no, like for me, like it's really hard for me to kind of like find something. Maybe like to a certain degree, I think I would have also been happy if Noriko was dead, and him like taking care of Akiko. I would have been satisfied with that, because I was like, for a part of me was like, how did she survive? But
that's a big question. Yeah,
but at the same time, like, it was, I kind of said, like, you know what, he deserves this win.
Give him some happiness.
Give him this win. This guy's just been getting L's the entire time. He deserves a win. So really, I didn't find any faults either. Like, so I think I'm gonna give it a 10 too.
Damn, 10-10. All right, Graham. I know Spider-Man's not in this movie. I know there's
gonna
no.
He's gonna give it a nine.
Where's Mothra? Where's Kong?
I am gonna give it a nine.
Of course you would.
Let me finish now.
Go ahead.
It's the best Godzilla film I've seen. Yes.
Mm, right.
However, I am a big sucker for, you know, all hail the king, Godzilla, save the savior Godzilla. I am a fan of savior Godzilla. That's just me. But with that said, I do think this is the best Godzilla film that I've seen. And with that said, to Dr. Mondo's point earlier, the human aspect of this, I do want the monster first. If you're going to include humans in your story, do what these people did. Which they're very close, but then you have Millie Bobby Brown, who had no business being in Godzilla versus Kong and all that mess. And I was like, God, I hate this. I don't even think Millie Bobby Brown in that movie says Kong once.
And again,
like, this is dumb.
Not criticizing Millie Bobby Brown, you as an actor.
No, it's not her fault. No. I love Eleven, love her.
Like, you're a great actress, but the writers did you dirty.
it's she's just eye candy. They said Stranger Things is hot. Let's get Millie Bobby Brown's. Get some people in some seats.
Yeah.
But no, the biggest issue with the MonsterVerse is that there is a big focus on the humans. Actually, you can check out my Letterboxd reviews. I talk about these things in my Letterboxd review of Godzilla 2014. King of Monsters and Godzilla vs. Kong. Don't do this if you aren't going to do it well.
That's a shout out to Transformers 2. If you're not gonna if you're gonna do this, you need to do it better. But I do really like some kaiju on kaiju action. But however, I have not been really treated to destruction mode Godzilla. So I really do appreciate this film. And flipping dippity doo, I think I'm probably gonna go watch the 1998 Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Roland Emmerich. Fill out your palette.
I'm like on a 21st century Godzilla marathon right now. So if I can find some Toho films, I'll watch some Toho films as well.
Yeah, just skip the 1998.
It's a funny, it's guilty tradition. Pleasure type watch.
You have to watch it.
No, yeah, like it's true. You have to watch it, but
damn. In order to appreciate our highs, we have to understand how low we were before.
That is true. Like those are true words. Great way to put it.
Well, there you have it, folks. There's our takes on Godzilla Minus One. Very limited screenings, but I think at the time of recording this, they're still pretty active on in a lot of theaters. So
it's been a box office success.
It's a box office success. They hear the cries of the fans. Find a theater that is showcasing this movie. If you have the means, watch it in 4DX. That is easily one of, this is like in top three easily. I think mines are like Dragon Ball Super, Superhero, Godzilla Minus One, and Fast X.
Did you see Top Gun in 4DX?
We didn't see Top Gun in theaters. Maybe that would have been a good one.
Maverick, 4DX is something else.
Wow. Nothing we can do about it now.
Alas, this will easily break into your top three. Godzilla Minus One. But once you see it, let us know what you guys think of Godzilla Minus One, wherever you're listening to us on, whether it be Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at the Yonko Table. Let us know what you think. Let us know what your favorite kaiju era movie is, and we'll see you in the comments below. I'm your Yonko host, Dr. Jace Attorney, fellow Yonko Grandmaster Hoop, and Supernova Dr. Mondo. How do you want to end this? I don't know, man. There's no iconic
Godzilla bump bump bump. Oh yeah, I got one. Oh no. They say he's got to go, 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 Godzilla. Whee! Blue Oyster, the band, they have a song called Godzilla.